Hello, this is Douglas Jacoby with some thoughts on the coronavirus, a Christian response. Last week, a woman seated next to me on an airplane was sneezing and coughing, and not once did she cover her mouth or cough or sneeze into her arm or any of those recommended methods. I think it's because she took very seriously the video game she was playing on her phone, and that required two hands. Of course, I did wonder, what have I done here? Am I exposed? Well, there's a lot of concern. There's a lot of panic. I went into the bank a few days ago. It was just the employees there and me. Many businesses I visited have been nearly empty. Today, our church canceled all of its meetings for the month. What is this coronavirus? What's going on? Well, you may have seen the short version, COVID-19. What does that actually mean? Because when we understand that, maybe it's less intimidating. Co is from corona. That's a Latin word for crown or halo, because this virus looks kind of like a crown. COVID, the VI is from virus. That's a Latin word. Virus means slime or poison. And then the D means disease. That is when the virus causes the disease. You have COVID-19, or 19 because it was identified at the end of 2019. That's what COVID-19 is. It's a shorthand for that particular coronavirus. You know, all kinds of invisible things that we fear have long Latin and Greek names. Think of Staphylococcus, for example. Bacteria. Well, bacteria is simply a word for staph or rod, because that's what they look like under the microscope. In the case of the bacterium Staphylococcus, Staphylos is a grape cluster. Coccus is a berry, and so forth. You know, physicians and academics aren't necessarily trying to impress us with their vocabulary, but thousands of medical terms have come into use in previous centuries when educated Westerners were familiar with Latin and Greek. And these are not fancy Latin and Greek names. They're just ordinary household names. So the long name itself can be intimidating, but just how dangerous is this virus? Of course, it's not a bacterium. That would be probably 100 times the size, and they're differently structured. How dangerous is it? Well, severe acute respiratory syndrome 1, the one many of us remember from 2003 up to 2004, severely affected breathing. The coronavirus COVID-19 is a SARS. It's a severe acute respiratory syndrome, and it's number 2, and it affects those who are 60 and above, people like me. For most of us, symptoms are mild. Now, in the past, there have been exceptions. The first SARS did take a number of lives, not a huge number of lives. As I recall, it was less than 1,000, but the nations of the world took it very seriously. MERS, the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, had a more fatality rate that was quite a bit higher than SARS. COVID-19 has a mortality rate of 2%, maybe. Actually, it looks more like 1%, but it is quite infectious. Now, before we get scared by statistics, look at auto fatalities. In the United States, last year, about 39,000 people died on the road. Last flu season, according to the CDC, that's the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, about 34,000 people died in the previous flu season. And most of these were older, that is 75 and above. But let's not just talk about the United States, because after all, we're talking about a global pandemic. In China itself, several thousand have died from this current coronavirus. But in a typical day, think of how large China's population is. In an average day, about 4,400 people die. And so it's not even one day's worth of deaths. And this virus has been going for months. You know, you have to be careful what you find online. I found a website that mistakenly said that 890 million people each day die in China. Well, if that were the case, then day after tomorrow, everyone would be gone. We'd have to have a totally new population. Don't believe everything you read. Global malaria deaths in a year, about 400,000. Heart disease and stroke, 15 million. I hope those numbers put it in perspective. And I'm not trying to minimize or belittle the suffering or the seriousness. Yes, people have died from the coronavirus, COVID-19, and we do need to take it seriously. I just have a few lessons I'd like to share, and I hope these are helpful. First, we mustn't overreact. Earlier today, my wife was at the supermarket, and she saw a woman buying two enormous coffee containers. And my wife made a comment, and the woman said, "Oh, it's not for me. I don't even drink coffee. This is for my husband." It looked like a 2 to 3 year supply. Okay, let's not overreact. If you get an alarmist email, don't forward that. Don't get sucked into conspiracy theories. We're moving soon, the coronavirus allowing. We're moving back to Europe for a while. Someone who came to my door the other day, and he's in the medical profession, I think more as an assistant, he said that this was the result of Chinese biological warfare. They started this to attack the U.S. economy. Well, okay, foreign powers do try to interfere with the politics of other countries. That's well documented. But in this case, the Chinese are doing fine. There was an independent study carried out. The Chinese government allowed the World Health Organization to send a team of physicians. I think it was 13 or 14 physicians. They allowed them full access. And it seems the stats coming from China are fair. The government has taken it seriously. And that's why the virus is burning out, basically. But let's not get sucked into conspiracy theories. Don't forward alarmist emails. And if you drink coffee, go easy. So don't overreact. Secondly, we need to trust the Lord. Panic in the Bible is always a bad thing. You can do a word search on that if you want. It's associated with those who don't worship the true God. Normally, they worship the gods of power or the gods of the nations. We're not to panic as Christians. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Psalm 112, verses 6 and 7. Let's not get sucked into panic. And if we're anxious, well, take comfort in the Psalms or read Philippians and Colossians. Just pray. In fact, we should be attuned to others' anxiety, not focused on ourselves. If we're discerning, we may see open doors for spiritual discussion. Many people are anxious when there's a pandemic, naturally, and it makes them think about what really counts. And for some, they realize that their lives are empty and that they need a God. They lack a center. For others, they're willing to take stock of what's important, and they're thinking about priorities. And these are great opportunities for discussion. So let's trust in the Lord. He'll act. We don't blame the Lord for sending this. This is not a plague sent upon his enemies. It's part of the world. It's part of nature, which itself has some dangerous aspects. Number three, of course, we should beware the real virus, because there's one that's far more dangerous than the coronavirus, and that's sin. And we can wash our hands as frequently as we want. That will not deal with our sin problem. Now, of course, it's not a perfect parallel, because sin is our own fault. No one forces us to sin. Yet, with the virus, people are innocent. Presumably, most people are not trying to get infected or to hurt others. But we need to beware the real virus. There is a solution, though, 1 John 1:5. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him, there's no darkness at all. We claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness. We lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness. There's always something more dangerous than the diseases in our world, and that's the disease of sin. Fourth, let's be excellent stewards of the time. I realize this is a bad time for many people who've either contracted the influenza and are symptomatic and in pain, or maybe who've been damaged by the knock-on effects, financial woes. For many people, this is a very challenging time, sent home from work without pay. But I believe for many of us, there's a silver lining. It gives us more time. We could have time with our household, with our family, or maybe it's for spring cleaning. Extra time to read and pray. Let's not complain about this, but let's be discerning. 5, don't overanalyze. I'm reminded of events that happened in the first century, and Jesus comments on both of these. Let's listen to the words from Luke 13. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Jesus is discouraging us from trying to link events with people's righteousness, their level of morality. It doesn't really work that way. It is a dangerous world we live in, and things happen, and accidents happen. Well, in the first example, people are being murdered. Pontius Pilate had the Jews murdered as they were offering worship to God. And the second one was an accident. The tower falls on top of them. And we say, what did I do to deserve this? Well, you may have done nothing to deserve this. That's not really the way the world works. God's world is full of perils. So let's not overanalyze, and don't discriminate either. I'm embarrassed to say this. There are people in my country who now, if they see a Chinese person, they give them a stern look of disapproval. You know, as though the Chinese caused this virus. Well, it's kind of like the great influenza of 1918, 1919. They called it the Spanish flu, but it doesn't seem to have started there, just that the Spaniards died in large numbers. I think the Americans were more guilty in that case. And 6, this is the last of my thoughts for you. Let's care deeply about others, not just about ourselves. For example, you may say, well, I'm young, I'm in my 20s. This doesn't really affect me. I hear just old people who can die. Well, not totally true, but yeah, I understand what you're saying. But if you're a carrier of the virus and you unnecessarily infect someone who's, say, in the 70s or 80s, that person could easily become affected. Where's the love? I got an email this morning from a sister in Christ lamenting what she's seeing going on social media, the cold-hearted comments about immigrants and refugees. It's not the fault of immigrants and refugees. We're to love and care for the alien. That is a biblical theme in both Testaments. And many of our nations are constituted from immigrants, from refugees. And then to say, well, we've been here longer than you, so we're not going to share with you. That's no good. The sister's email also lamented that so many Christians are buying guns now. They're thinking, well, you know, if society breaks down, I need to defend my family and prevent people from taking what I've taken. This is, I think, what we call survivalism. And survivalism reminds me of the man Jesus described in the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12. That fellow was hoarding his goods so that he could take life easy later on. Well, the survivalist hoards his goods to make sure he'll have something for tomorrow in case calamity comes. But the focus is on self, or perhaps on one's immediate family. It's not on others. There's zero intent to share food and drink with others, let alone one's enemies. And yet that's what Paul tells us to do in Romans 12. He's just following what Jesus taught in Matthew 5. As a good friend commented about the catastrophe of 70 AD, when Jerusalem fell to the Romans, Jesus did not advise his followers to stock up, to build a survival cache. Once the calamity was at hand, he told them, leave everything behind and flee. Just leave your possessions. They're not that important. Just go. Yet there's this unstated assumption that staying alive is more important than living a life that pleases God. By all means, we must stay alive. We mustn't die. We mustn't be hurt. But why? Why would that be more important than living a life that pleases God? If we believe in the Lord and His Word, we understand this point. Because in times that are difficult, that are strained, in times where there's fear and panic, we should live as Christians. Maybe help others who are panicking and overstretched. Let's model faith for them. Think for ourselves. Christians are to value truth. Let's not get carried away. And we're followers of the Prince of Peace, not doomsday preppers. If you'd like to go further, I provided links to an article on survivalism. A podcast on that topic will come out in a few days, and also an excellent video at YouTube by Finney Crovilla, who is an MD and a PhD, which you may appreciate too. But those are the thoughts for now. Let's not overreact. Let's trust in the Lord. Of course, beware the real danger, the real virus. Be excellent stewards during this time. Let's not overanalyze, and let's care deeply about others, not just about ourselves. And maybe there's more to be said, but those are, I think, important components of any truly Christian response to the coronavirus.